White Sox Weekly, the Chicago baseball conversation on the new flagship home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. Welcome into Guarantee Ray Field. Welcome into the White Sox and the Angels. Welcome into White Sox Weekly. My name is Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz. Andy Mazur has the pregame show at 5:35. He's waving at you in Radio Land as well. He talked to Rick Renteria all by his lonesome today. So we'll see what Andy has coming up at 5:35. Harry, huge news this week, obviously, with Michael Kopech. Before we get to that, though, I want to say that I just ran into the chairman, Jerry Reinsdorf. And I did not take the charge. I shook his hand. I've never actually been one-on-one with Jerry. And I know that you have relationships with Jerry. You've known him for a long time.
Yes.
So I said I do White Sox Weekly with Harry Tynowitz. And Jerry Reinsdorf said I would never admit that I even know Harry Tynowitz.
He's awesome. Jerry, I think what people know that he's, you know, maybe the, you know, best owner in sports. You'll have people that say Robert Kraft, you know, a lot of people say Reinsdorf is best owner in sports, but I don't know if they know how funny he is. He is a really funny guy.
Yeah, well, it was just kind of shocking to be walking up the field, and there he was.
He puts his pants on one leg at a time, Carm.
Does he?
Yep.
Feel like people in that position actually put their legs on their pants on differently than I do. I don't believe that we are. All men are not created equal,
hey.
Harry. Look at the athletes that are out on the field that we're talking
right.
about. We are not them. They are better than us. We have to. It's good for you to admit that. Just come clean right now. You know it.
Bill Veeck put his leg down one at a time.
Okay. Let us move into the Kopech news of the week. And
terrible. I couldn't believe it yesterday when I started getting the blasts on my phone that Michael Kopech was going to need to have Tommy John, probably missing all of next year. He will get a second opinion, but it seems like you know, the cards have been laid out.
Yeah, this is something that Michael Kopech didn't want, the White Sox didn't want. But as we play a little bit of Rick Hahn for you, this is something that when you are going through a rebuild and building an organization, you have to consider every possibility, and the White Sox certainly did that. There was a plan in place if this did happen.
Throughout this process, we were making this about more than just one guy. We knew that there were going to be setbacks, whether it was due to injury or underperformance, and that we were going to have to be prepared and have enough depth and insulate ourselves enough, either internally or via trade and free agency, to be able to withstand some of this stuff.
I mean, right? It's not about one guy, and it's obviously Michael Kopech is a key guy in the system, but you're also talking about Lucas Giolito. You're also talking about Dylan Cease. You're talking about Ronaldo Lopez. You're a long list of guys. Who knows what Dane Dunning's going to be.
It's Hanson.
It's a huge blow at the same time, all of it.
Well, you know, what's horrible about it is he literally just got up here. I mean, he just got up here, and he was as good as promised. And, you know, he dealt with rain, all three of his guaranteed rate field starts. You know, he had to deal with rain delays, and, you know, it looked like he was too good to be true. And it's just a shame this would happen so quickly in his career. But, you know, I'm always a guy whose shot glass is half full, Carm. And if you're going to have something like that happen to you, get it out of the way now. And be ready in 2020 when, you know, the band is being put together.
Well, it is a lot better if you are saying that this is going to happen. If it had happened in spring training next year, let's say the White Sox hadn't brought him up, and eventually, you know, this was something that was going to be in the future of Michael Kopech. Well, if it happens in spring training, that's 6 months of rehab, 6 months of recovery that you wouldn't be getting. So that's, you know, if we're looking for positives, that's one. Another positive that you can look at is, just start naming basically the who's who of who's been successful in the big leagues. Steven Strasburg, Jacob DeGrom, Yu Darvish.
Start with Jacob DeGrom. Jacob DeGrom is going to win the Cy Young in the National League playing on one of the worst teams in baseball. And he is just breathtaking on the mound. And he went through it. Yeah, and you can go ahead, back to your list.
Okay, you want me to add on?
I know here Giolito has had the surgery. I know Dylan Cease has had the surgery. You know, Jake Peavy's had it. Tons of guys.
Right. And so, look, I mean, I was going through
Michael Pineda, Adam Wainwright, Carlos Carrasco, Johnny Cueto, Yu Darvish. I mean, it's a long, long list. Yes. Yu Darvish is a bad name to throw out there.
Yeah, I was thinking Yu Darvish probably the only time he's been hurt.
That's the thing. He may come back and have a really long career. He may come back and have a 5 years where he's back at it. And you'll always be worried that, like with any pitcher, that it's going to crop back up again where, the elbow will bother him again, or it'll turn into his shoulder. That's the reality of any pitcher, really, in the big leagues
or in
the minors.
Right. It's terrible it happened, but even though you miss a whole year, you do come back from it.
Yeah. So here, let's hear a little bit more from Rick Hahn from yesterday when he was addressing the and again, nobody knew this was coming. Media is here, Standard Friday, playing the Angels, and you're expecting to talk to Ricky Renteria, and here out walks Rick Hahn. So what is the actual diagnosis? What is the plan?
The preliminary recommendation is for Michael to undergo Tommy John surgery. There will be a second opinion coming in the coming days, so we're still going to hold out a little bit of hope that perhaps there's a different prognosis, but we are certainly preparing for him to not only miss the remainder of the 2018 season, but also miss the 2019 season.
And when exactly did the White Sox know that there was a problem?
Nothing that he reported, nothing in the injury reports, nothing with his delivery, nothing with any of the analytics of his mechanics, nothing until yesterday when he rightfully shared with us that, he just didn't feel quite right getting loose during that start against Detroit. And obviously you guys saw the start. The velo was a little bit down.
Yep, the velo velocity for those not hip to the term. So, look, he had been feeling stuff, as we can hear from Kopech here. He was noticing something, but he really just didn't think that there was a problem.
I just kind of assumed after every start it was soreness, and then some starts I thought it may be a little more sore than others. I just didn't I didn't ever put it in the category of pain. I just put it in the category of soreness, so I wouldn't be able to pinpoint a time. It may have just happened the other night. It's just been a little bit of discomfort that I've been throwing through, but I never thought it was this serious.
So he does mention that he's had discomfort, but again, that's a very fine line for a pitcher. Am I sore? I just threw, or is something wrong?
And I'm glad he said something. I'm glad he didn't just keep it to himself and say, oh, that must be just soreness. That's what happens when you're in the bigs. He was smart enough to say, hey, something doesn't feel right, because there are guys that wouldn't say something.
And again, he does not really, he's trying to pinpoint when did it happen. He doesn't know.
I mean, if you're looking for a specific pitch or date, I couldn't tell you. It's been gradual. I just thought it was a little bit of discomfort. I thought it was something I could throw through. Obviously, my last couple starts, my velocity's been a little bit down. Didn't think much of it. Just, thought it wasn't there right now.
And so for a young guy who's never been through this, you could understand how he's trying to be his best self. He's trying to be there for the team. He wants to be out there. He's trying to make it to the major leagues. I mean, there's a lot at play here, right?
Yeah, and, I know it sounds like there's no way, but it could have been worse. This is an injury that people have that they have a specific surgery for that does take a while to come back from, but they do come back.
Yes, he's going to be back in 2020. We here on White Sox Weekly, we will never say anything other than that. He will be back, and he will be just as good, if not better.
Damn it. I think there's two types of Chicago sports fans, right? There's the kind that wait for bad stuff to happen. Then there's the kind that just sort of live in this fantasy world, not a fantasy world, but, a world where good is going to happen more than bad. So maybe because he's down, another guy gets an opportunity.
Well, that's another thing. I mean, sure, it could work out that who knows what the White Sox will do in the offseason and who will get an opportunity to fill that spot. Ricky was asked about that today, is who is going to start next week for him. He would not give an answer. So guys are going to get an opportunity. That's always true. And then you get the guy back. One more from Kopech, just what it's been like for him to be up here and have the experience and now having the diagnosis.
It's been a whirlwind of emotions for me in the past couple weeks. Obviously, I went from just about my absolute peak to the absolute rock bottom for me. I think to say it was unexpected would be an understatement. Sucks. That's it. It sucks.
So, I mean, there's as real as you're going to get right there. I mean, he did absolutely positively did not think anything was wrong, and now there's a young guy that's having to deal with what the reality is. And he'll pick himself up off the deck, and he'll get back.
And, you know, there are guys that look at, like, when their career started 7 years earlier and where they were and what happened to them now. And, I mean, he just came up here. He just had his first start with his parents in the suite. And, you know, it's awful. It's awful. It's horrific that this happened. But, you know, he's going to be okay. And, you know, you can say, well, maybe if they hadn't brought him up, you can play that game if you want. But he was up. He was looking good. He was gaining confidence. The other guys in the rotation were feeding off it. There was an energy in the park. Last year, the most exciting night to be out here was Moncada's debut. This year, I feel like the most exciting night to be out here was when he had his debut, Kopech. You know, maybe if he hadn't cut his hair, Samson.
Right. I'm sure you can have all sorts of crazy thoughts. Like, well, if I hadn't done this. But, you know, the White Sox bringing him up was, in essence, to protect him. They wanted to build up his innings so next year, when he made a jump, it wouldn't be detrimental to him and possibly too much strain on his arm doing that in one pulse season. So they're actually trying to protect the guy. Didn't work out that way, but, you know, back to your original point, if this was going to happen, it was going to happen. They weren't abusing Michael Kopech. They weren't putting him out there having him throw 130 pitches every night. You can't blame the White Sox for this. Everybody wanted to see him up here. The guy has to be able to build himself up to pitch an entire season. So there's nothing the White Sox can. I don't think you can look in the mirror and say that they should have done X, Y, or Z. They did everything they could have possibly done to protect the player and a huge asset for the organization. So, all right. Let's on the show today. We will talk to Don Cooper at the top of the hour, who is a pitching
Coop.
Coach who knows something about these things. So we'll have Coop up a little bit after 4 o'clock. Up next is our week in review, as we will take you through the week that was. That is straight ahead on White Sox Weekly 720 WGN. White Sox Weekly 720 WGN. Mark Harmon, Harry Tynotes, with you from Guaranteed Rate Field. Was over at Ryan Field earlier today, where the Northwestern Wildcats did not. I'm blaming Jason Benetti, who came over and did the game.
The TV voice of the White Sox.
Comes over, you know, the Wildcats have won 9 games in a row. Here comes Benetti, and they lose to Duke. That's fair, isn't it? I mean, no, does anybody have a problem with me pointing that out?
I was very frustrated with the offense. I'm a little more frustrated with the offense today than Jason Benetti.
Right, that's probably a little bit more fair. All right, let's do our week in review, and we go back to last Sunday. It was game 4 of the 4-game series with the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox had taken 2 out of 3. It was Hawk Day. It was awesome. And Daniel Pulka had a moment.
Here's the 3-2 with 2 outs. A swing and a high fly ball to right field. This one's going to count. He goes deep for a home run. There's Daniel Pulka.
Redemption
He's
is
He's got 20. Light it up.
Pulka's going to be on the show today, White Sox Weekly. And what was interesting about that home run, Harry, was he hit a home run foul in the same at bat.
How about it?
And then he straightened it out a little bit. It was just inside the pole for number 20. White Sox were an 8-0 winner in that one. We move on to Monday. Game 1 in Detroit. And, yeah, that was Matt Davidson with a Labor Day walk-off.
And at home plate, Matt Davidson. And the pitch from Green. Swinging a long one to left. Down the line, does it have enough? At the track. At the wall. Game-winning home run by Davidson. Light it up. Sox lead, and they win the ball game. Oh, my, what a game today. Home runs were the tour. And now Davidson takes that tour. He's going to get nailed with that Gatorade.
That was awesome. And in that ninth inning, the Sox were down. Daniel Pulka hit his 21st homer of the year. And then Davidson with the 2-run shot to win it 4-2 your final. Harry, you know, winning games late, it's something that we're going to talk with Pulka about. It's been a thing for him hitting home runs in the ninth inning.
You know, it's all about the drama. Reggie Jackson. Reggie Jackson was the greatest home run hitter I ever saw. Reggie Jackson was the one guy when I was at the ballpark, everybody stopped when he came to the plate because he had, you know, he had that like flair for the dramatic. He had that ability that he could take one out at any time, at any at bat, but he tended to do it late in the game with everything in the line. So at a much different level early on, Polka's got a little of that going on here where he likes to be the guy late and he's not afraid to tell you.
I've greatly enjoyed Daniel Polka this season.
You're in love with him. Why don't you just marry Daniel Polka?
Okay, that's a little creepy and not completely inaccurate all at the same time. All right, let's move on to Tuesday. Tigers
speaking
beat the
of, speaking of getting married, there's a couple tuxedo and wedding gown. I'm going to say they're getting married or got married on the field here right now.
Yeah, they're right behind home plate taking wedding pictures. They should have hired Annie Mazur to do that. He does phenomenal work. But that is, you know, I've always thought about getting married, Harry. And
really? And, I find that hard to believe.
But it is true, and I would love to do it someday at a ballpark.
We'll take the fifth caller. Who wants to marry Carm?
Let us, that's a great idea there. Let us move on to Tuesday, which the White Sox lost to the Tigers in that one right here at Guaranteed Rate Field, 8-3. But there was a guy that night who got his first Major League RBI.
Here's the 0-1. High fly ball to right field. This is hit well. That's going to send the right fielder Castellanos on the warning track. Makes a catch. Moncada tags at third. He'll come home. Engel makes third. And now it's a three-run lead. It's 6-3, Detroit. Sacrifice fly RBI.
Congratulations to Ryan Cordell. A moment for him to remember for sure, right? Let's go on to Wednesday. And, of course, that was Michael Kopech's last start of the year, which obviously has just turned into a disaster. And we're, as we've been talking about on the show, we're looking forward to Kopech getting well and coming back in 2020. You knew that you know, something was just not right as the velocity was down and he was giving up a bunch of homers. The fourth homer of the night he gave up came off the bat of Ronnie Rodriguez.
Here's the 0-1. Rodriguez, the line drive to left. If it's fair, it's a two-run homer. This one to the pole and left, and that's gone. That is a two-run homer for Rodriguez. We've got four runs, and three of the four runs are home runs, and all four of those have brought people home with them. Solo home runs, and this one a two-run shot.
It's a bad night when the other team gets four homers and 10-1 when the Sox fans left here this evening. And sadly, that's the last we'll see of Michael Kopech for a while.
Yep. And so let's move on to yesterday as we do the weekend review. And one more quote from this was Kopech yesterday discussing his new reality is he's going to, in all likelihood, have Tommy John surgery.
It's been a whirlwind of emotions for me in the past couple weeks, obviously. I went from just about my absolute peak to the absolute rock bottom for me. I think to say it was unexpected would be an understatement. Sucks. That's it. It sucks.
Yeah, so there's the real emotion of Kopech after yesterday, and I'm sure the next time that we hear from him, his tone is going to be a whole lot different as he'll be working his way back, like so many have before him. And you know, we just wish him well right here on White Sox Weekly, everybody at WGN, right? And he'll have all the confidence in the world that the White Sox, they know how they're going to do their very best to get the player healthy and see him back out there.
Whatever don't kill you makes you stronger. That's the attitude we have to have here with this situation. He was looking great.
And by the way, just on a much lighter note, there is a pub crawl going on right now at Guaranteed Rate Field. Like normally when we get here for a 6 o'clock game on Saturday at around 2:30, there's no one in the stands, no one in the parking lot, there's no one here except Danny Mazur who never leaves. And today there was the parking lot was all filled up. People were coming. I'm like, what is going on? So they're having a pub crawl, and the bleachers are buzzing with some action out there. People just going from different stop to different stop. It was part of a ticket. You could come on in, have the pub crawl, the whole experience. How awesome is that?
That's pretty damn good. So, I mean, you can just go like from one bar here to another bar here to another bar?
Start in the craft cave, make your way around, do a little stop at the Sox Social Tap Room in the left field corner. Outstanding place to hang out. All right. It's good to see the ballpark alive so early. Let us move along to Don Cooper, the White Sox pitching coach. We'll talk to him after the 4 o'clock news on 720 WGN.
At the wall, the 380, gone. A three-run homer for Tim Anderson. 3-1 White Sox.
Back to White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN.
White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN in the dugout with the pitching coach of your Chicago White Sox, Don Cooper. Coop, we got to start at the top with the news yesterday with Michael Kopech and your message to him. And just, you know, a lot of guys have been through this, so he's got to be the next one, I guess.
My message to him is, you know, I first asked him, how you doing? He said, as good as I can be. And I said, we're just going to take your time now. Hold on.
You're okay.
We're going to get you well. You know, and the good news is just about everybody comes back from this just as strong. We've got a few guys in the clubhouse. You know, it's hard for me to remember. I can't remember anybody. Oh, Jake Peavy, but Jake Peavy, quote unquote, wasn't ours. He had a lat muscle problem. I can't remember this happening to anybody else. You know, because the White Sox, not only here in the big leagues, but throughout the organization, you can take the time and look this stuff up. If we're not the best at running guys out there every 5 days or 6 days, depending on the schedule, and keeping them healthy, we're right up the top. So this doesn't happen much. And again, it's disappointing news, but, you know, like anything else, you know, you take it and you live with it, and you got to move on. Michael will move on. He'll get his arm well. We'll see him in spring training. He'll begin his rehab. He'll be back in 2020, you know, and we have to move on to other guys because he's one of our most important guys, but we have many other guys that are important to us. Michael will be back. And now, you know, maybe he's going to be taught some patience because he's got a road ahead of him. But again, many, many people we've had. Dylan Cease is one. Nate Jones is one. There's others and throughout baseball that this has happened to, and they bounce back well. And that's what we're expecting.
Giolito had it, right? And Giolito's looking pretty good lately. What are you doing differently with Lucas?
Well, you know, Lucas, long story short, and he's been going good for a while. He did not have a good game last game. He had a good first inning. His second inning wasn't good. We're getting him to stay behind the ball. You know, early in the season, at the end of a pitch, his back would be to the catcher, and nobody can do that. So we're trying to get that. We've gotten that straight. Actually, I'm pleased with what Lucas has done. His battle ability. He's shown battle. He's shown fight. He shows a above average changeup, a solid fastball when it's thrown to the location we're throwing it to, two and four seam. His curveball making major strides, and his slider has improved also. You know, this year we knew this was going to be a long haul for us, the toughest spot in the rebuild. And the way I'm viewing it is we're trying to make deposits in the bank with him, Lopez, Bummer, Frere, you know, and there's many other names that I'm forgetting right now, but for the future. Our time is coming. It's not right now, but it's coming. I'm looking to make a little bit of a splash next year and be ready to go and see if we can take care of business. You never know with baseball either. You know, we make a splash, you can find yourself in there. And when I say in there, I mean playoffs. And in 2020, kind of looks like it will be all ready. So that's kind of what we're
when you say, just curious, when you say splash, do you mean an addition to the rotation, or are you talking about just these guys just going further?
I'm saying have a better season than we're having this year. And again, knowing that this was going to be the toughest spot. Make a move, a big step forward next year with the guys that we've had, the guys that we're putting the time in right now, and I just named the pitchers, but you can also add in Engel, you can add in Moncada, you can add in Timmy Anderson, and all of these guys. So we're looking to do that and get these guys. They're gaining from a lot of experience. So we'd like to think next year we can make a step forward with all of those guys. You know, as far as additions, well, that's not our end of it. You know, our end of it is to coach the people that are here. Rick, Kenny, and Jerry hold the plan. And, you know, we're always hoping that they're looking to improve us, and I'm sure they are. And then hopefully in the too-distant future, we're ready to compete for getting into playoffs and winning championships.
Carlos Rodon is a monster. I know last night was an un-Rodon-like performance. He was wild, but he has just been fantastic. That must be very gratifying to you to see him come back from injury and dominate.
The biggest thing for him was to come back from the injury. You know, he had shoulder surgery. He's come a long way this year. The changeup's improved. Slider's always been good. Fastball command has been better. You know, people are saying, listen, the first time he's only got five innings. Well, early when he first came up, he was only able to go four or five innings for the first four or five starts. And then he reeled off a string of really good outings. And he looks like a guy. He's improved every year, but he's also had some roadblocks with injuries that we've had to make up time for and try to recapture that development time, so to speak. But he's still growing, but he's going to be a big part of this as well.
I want to rewind back to Kopech for just a second. Guy that throws that hard, more likely that this could happen. Did you see it coming at all, like this could be a problem?
No, and I didn't see it because Michael's got a good delivery. You know, but nobody gets it right every time. Michael has a good, solid delivery. I didn't see this coming. We have seen things coming with other people, whether it be on our team or other teams before. We got Steve McCaddy here, AAA coach for the White Sox, but he also was the pitching coach for the Nationals. And I remember when we played the Nationals, and I saw Steven Strasburg, and he was having trouble after 75 innings. So that was a red flag to me, and I said, this guy reminds me of Pryor and Wood with what he's doing. And rather than get into depth of what he's doing, I thought he was an accident waiting to happen. I wouldn't wish that on anybody, but I thought from seeing him, I thought it could happen. And not only did it happened about 2 weeks after we saw him.
So Carson Fulmer has been, I know he's not in front of you, but he's been down in the minors and he's working out of the pen. Do you think maybe, because unfortunately, you know, Kopech's going to be out of the rotation, you think maybe a spot is open now for Carson, or do you guys see Carson Fulmer as working out of the bullpen?
Listen, the jury's still out on Carson. Not everybody grabs the brass ring the first time around the merry-go-round, you know, as a starter. It's not easy to be a starter. He hasn't grabbed it yet. That's not to say he can't. But Carson's a part of our future. We're just not sure of a starter or relief. And I will say this, depending on what, if anything, we acquire in the offseason, let's say we acquire nothing. Well, yeah, he certainly have to be in the picture of possibly being a starter for us, as well as Dylan Covey. And those are the two names that come to mind right away. Dylan Covey's a major leaguer, but he's been given some starts and some relief outings, you know. He's pitched very, very well against Milwaukee, Cleveland, and Boston. And they were all first-place clubs at the time, and he pitched very well against them. And then he had some games that didn't work out, you know, and he's been pitching out of bullpen. But in all the games he started, if you look at it, the first time through the order, he's been very good. So certainly, if he's not a starter, he can be a reliever for us. He's a major league guy, got major league stuff, and we're afforded the luxury this year of trying to give him that opportunity to see if he can grab that.
More with Coop in a moment here, but first, Harry, you've got a message for everybody.
I do, and I want you to know that you should join the White Sox Volunteer Corps and Huntington Bank as they team up on September 11th for some hands-on improvement work at the Primo Center Shelter for Women and Children in Englewood. For more information and sign up to volunteer, visit whitesox.com/volunteercorps. This message is sponsored by Permacy.
That's awesome. And hey, Sox fans, back by popular demand, the White Sox are offering a limited edition cancer ribbon White Sox cap. It's only $25, and $10 from every cap sold will support White Sox charities at Rush University Medical Center in cancer research. The caps are now available online and at the ballpark. You can visit whitesox.com/rushcap to purchase yours today. We continue with Don Cooper next, and Coop's actually going to tell us a little bit of his musical history of the young life.
Yeah, he is.
Of a Don Cooper with his brother. It's some fun stuff. That's straight ahead on White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN, back live at Guaranteed Reed Field as we continue with Don Cooper. Harry, you doing all right up there?
Yes, I'm very excited because we see, you know, Coop's been around forever, and you don't really hear him having fun. We got to have some fun with him in this little park coming up.
We did, and we start, though, with a little bit more serious as we ask him about the progression of Ronaldo Lopez this season, who's been up and down and is obviously a huge part of the White Sox future.
Hey, listen, he, Giolito, Kopech, Rodon, Cease, they're major pieces in our build. And Ronaldo Lopez – has got very, very good stuff. You know, let me tell you something. Everybody was oohing on at Kopech's fastball. Giolito's, Lopez's fastball is just right there with him. So we don't feel hear the oohs and ahs with that one. But Lopez has had a good, solid year, you know, and with each guy, I know and see where the improvement has to be. And then next year, we're going to head out to see if we can make that improvement. And really, it comes down to more strikes, more quality strikes, early in the count to get ahead. And if you do that, that means we're going to be eliminating walks. You can't have a starting pitcher has got to be, for me, at least 3-1 innings to walks. And really, I prefer four and heading to 4 and 5 because that means it comes down to can you hit their stuff. And I will bet on the stuff that they possess over any hitter in there. And if they get ahead 0-2, 1-2, well, I'll double down the bet because they're ahead in the count. But that's been their Achilles heel this year, I think, both of those guys, as well as Rodon. But Rodon is going to be able to get to 3-1. The other guys, that's the challenge ahead of them.
Mike Maddox has been known, it's a little weird, when he comes out to the mound, the pitching coach Mike Maddox will put his hand on his pitcher, and he said the reason he finally admitted it, he said the reason he did it this year is because he always wants to see how the guy is feeling, if the moment is too big for him. Do you do anything like that when you come out to discuss what you're going to throw, but you're also at the same time making sure that your guy's not losing his composure?
I might touch, but I'm not touching on purpose, noticeably. I'm not the touchy-feely type, you know what I mean?
You had a lot of complaints about that.
I want to settle whatever situation. If I'm going out there, I'm going out there for a reason. I want to settle it down. I want to get focused back to where it needs to be, which is right now, this pitch, this hitter, and try to get everybody refocused. It's not I can see in their eyes, and I can hear it in their voice. If there's something more than normal, more than net going on, you know? I've come back before in years ago saying, we need to get somebody ready right here, you know, because you can see it. But you also see from the sideline how a guy's doing. We don't go by necessarily pitch counts or things like that. We take it all into consideration. But our eyes and our gut come along with it. And we see how the hitters are doing. If the hitters ain't doing nothing, well, we're pretty sure we're going to leave this guy in. See, I'm looking for reasons to keep starters in, not reasons to take them out. And nowadays, you see a lot of teams starting a game with a reliever or taking guys out after five. You know, I happen to see a world championship where our starting pitchers took the bulk of the work, and that's kind of where I want it to be. Our starting pitchers, they're part of their job description. Is taking 6, 7, 8, sometimes 9 innings, give our team a chance to win the game by throwing a good, solid, quality effort. Because really, they don't have much of a say on wins and losses. Because you can be pitching your tail off that game, and if we don't happen to catch it or hit it that day, it's going to be hard to win. But what you can do on a consistent basis is give your team a chance to win. And that's kind of the biggest goal they have.
Coop, I got two more for you. What one, just your general philosophy, where trying to be, you know, friendly with them versus being their coach. You know, how do you strategize, like, having a guy like, you know, you have him feel like, yeah, Coop's got my back versus, you know, saying the tough thing?
Well, they should know that I got their back. It's okay for me to say stuff about them, but I don't like it when anybody else does. And if it gets to the point where I don't like it, we might be wrestling somebody because they don't know. The people that are watching this and reporting this don't know. They never played. You know what I mean? So I know the work that they put in. I know the desire. I know what they want to achieve. I know all of that. So nobody but me can say stuff about them. And I don't like it when anybody else does. But they should know I got their back. But I'm not into this to make friends. I got a good amount of friends. You know, I'm all right with that. I want them to have the best careers that they're dreaming of. My goal for all the pitchers is to try our best. Myself and Kurt Hassler, who's my assistant pitching coach in the bullpen, we're talking about these guys endlessly. Nobody cares about their careers more than us two, other than their mother and father and maybe their wife, if they're married. You know, we want it to be what they wanted it to be. You know, they reached a dream about to get here. We want that. We don't want them to be sent out because that dream turns into a nightmare. We want them to have the careers. We want to put them on the track of being the best they can be. We want to take the God-given ability that they've been given, and they've got everybody's been given gifts. They've been given gifts. We want to take those gifts as far as we can take them.
It's awesome.
That's great. All right. Since we've been visiting with you here in the dugout, we've Pink Floyd's playing now. We heard CCR. We heard Carm's favorite, the Bee Gees. I know you are.
Bee Gees are one of my favorite. Matter of fact, just yesterday on the phone, I was looking at different medleys. My son grew up to the Bee Gees. I wasn't listening to the music because I was focused on your questions, but I like all of it.
So who else are you looking? When you're in your car, game's over, you want to get away from baseball, what music are you looking for?
God, it could be a lot of different things. You know, it could be some country. It could be Hank Williams Jr. It could be that. It could be Billy Joel. It could be Metallica. It could be Pearl Jam. I mean, I'm serious. I'll go to Pearl Jam a lot. I'll go to the Garage Station, which is the guy from The Sopranos and...
Steve Van Zandt.
Yeah.
From there, the guy, Bruce somebody.
I'll go to the Pop Rocks. I'll go to the Beatles channel. I mean, I like a lot of it. You know, I don't have one preference. It's kind of like what my ears like to hear, you know, and I never have a problem finding something. Now the radio. I grew up in New York City, and there was like four different rock stations. And my brother and I used to play what we call the song game. We change from channel to channel. If you can name the name of the song, you got a point. If you name the group on top of it, you get another point. So I like a lot of different music. And now I live in Nashville. So I like a lot of different type of music.
That's so awesome. I love that part of that. I just learned a lot about you, Coop, there. Okay. Just one little sensitive, nice moment, I thought. The Hawk Day ceremony last Sunday, he made a point of singling you out. And there, I just thought that was a great little testament for, you know, the time you've been here and what you mean to the organization.
I wasn't expecting it at all. He was nice enough to point me out there, but this guy's been great to all the White Sox people over the years. You know, he's always been in my corner. I have a nice relationship with Hawk. I can't tell you how many conversations we've had on a plane or bus or the lobby of a hotel in some situations. He's a true White Sox guy. I love him. I was touched that he was even going to say something like that, and it's appreciated. But he's an icon, man. He's huge, and not having him around, there's a little void because my seat on the plane, I could turn to my left one row back, and that's where he sat all the years. And his stories, his fire, his energy. Sometimes his temper, his passion. Those are the things I really like about him.
Coop, it's a pleasure, and I hope that you're pitching coach here until the year 2050.
You know what? I want to finish this out. I want to get back and get through. I'm going to have shirts made. We will survive this rebuild, you know, and we will. You know, there's some trying times along with it.
Gainer, we will survive.
All right, my first wife was a big song, that one.
When you got rid of the first wife, did you go to the right arm to single for the new one?
No, I walked around aimlessly for a while. And then something else pops up, you know.
Coop, great to be with you. Appreciate the time all season long. And have a great off season. We look forward to getting it back rolling again.
Okay, guys, I enjoyed it.
White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN. My name is Mark Carman. He's Harry Tynowitz. Annie Mazur has your pregame for the Sox and Angels about an hour from now.
Carm.
Yeah, Harry.
I want all White Sox fans to know that if you want to be the first to know the details for Sox Fest 2019, sign up for the Sox Fest priority list for must-have details on tickets, giveaways, player appearances, and more. Sign up today at whitesox.com/SoxFest.
So that's awesome, but I think what's slightly even more awesome is the burger of the series that we were just delivered here, Harry, which you can get at the Craft Cave. It's the In and Away burger, which is similar to an In-N-Out burger. I don't know if you ever had the In-N-Out burger.
I think most people get that.
Right.
It's delicious. It's big.
Double patty, tomato, an iceberg lettuce, an American cheese, a diced fried onion, a Thousand Island dressing. So it's like a combo Big Mac, but yet with a delicious flavor that you're just not going to get with your Big Mac. Let's be honest. That was...
It's got the patty melt feel to it because of the onions.
Yeah. I mean, I'm never a big fan of listening to people eat on the radio or talk about eating on the radio, but that burger was just absolutely delicious. You should come out to Guaranteed Refill just for the burger.
Well, you know, come for the burger, stay for the game.
Burger for the game and the brews. And there's a pub crawl going on right now, which you're late for, but it's quite a scene out here.
And James Shields is throwing tonight. Now, he's 6-15. It's easy to, poo-poo James Shields. But he is 17 2/3 innings away from 200 innings pitched. When he gets there, it'll be the 10th time in his career. This is his 30th start this season. It's the 11th time in his career that he has given his team 30 starts. 30 starts, 200 innings, and let's not forget Carlos Rodon gives him props for, like, turning his career around.
Yep, and everybody knows that James has pitched a whole lot better than his record this season, and he's been solid. I don't know, 9 times out of 10 that he's been out there. Also, a reminder, as we're talking food, there is still a few select upcoming games. Take advantage of the bleachers and brews.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get one bleacher seat, 2 beers for just $22. You got to be 21, of course, or over with a valid ID. Bleachers and brews, presented by Budweiser. To purchase tickets, visit whitesox.com/brews. Here we're going to talk to Tim Anderson coming up here in a matter of moments. You excited to talk to Timmy?
I'm very excited to talk to T.A. He's playing some great D lately.
So we're going to do that next. Straight ahead, a little conversation with the shortstop on 720 WGN. White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN, picking it up with number 7, shortstop of your Chicago White Sox, Tim Anderson. Now, I want to take credit for saying that early in the year, this guy is on a whole nother level at the position. So I just want you to know that I saw it early. I know people are talking about it now, but you don't mind me taking credit for seeing it early. This was a Tim Anderson that was reaching the next level defensively.
Oh yeah, yeah, man. I've been working, and credit to Joe McEwen, man. We've been doing a heck of a job, man. We get out and work every day, and it's showing, and people are realizing, and I just want everybody to know that it took hard work. It took hard work, man. You know, the worry was that I wasn't a shortstop, but my goal was to come out and prove these people wrong.
So just detail the work that you're doing every day to get to where you're at as best you can.
Man, just ground balls, left and right every day, man, during BP, or if we don't take BP, just on the field. So, I put a lot of work, take pride in what I do.
You made a play the other day. You went hard to your right and like a ballerina, like, you know, Don Kessinger used to do, who was a player manager here. You went up in the air, you threw the guy out at first. How long does it take after that to kind of, like, you know, come down from making such a play?
Not long, man. I kind of expect to make those plays because I practice them. And, I think the more I practice them, they kind of become easy to me, but not easy. But, I work on those plays every day. And, just to build that confidence and to go out and make that play is definitely, kudos to Joe and myself for the hard work we put in.
Is it as gratifying to take a hit away from a guy on a play like that as it is to, like, homer?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, man. We'll take the homer and the hit away, anything to help our pitchers. And, but man, it's been a heck of a road, and I'm just proud and happy to be where I'm at today.
Did the noise, I guess, around it, well, Tim, when the White Sox are going to win, is going to be the left fielder, did that bother you?
No, that don't bother me. I know my work ethic, and I know what I'm capable of doing, and I know what it takes to go out and come and be competitive to this sport every day, and I do that. I come to work every day.
Use it as motivation, or you were just like, look, I'm getting to the next level. You weren't even paying attention to what anyone was saying, even if it was like Skip Bayless on the big national platform.
Both, man. I use it as motivation, and I push myself, and I know what I want out of myself, so it's easy to accomplish those things when you're able to push yourself.
Okay, if you're filling up the lineup card every day, you're making the batting order, where would you put T.A.?
I'll bat second. I'll back second, man. I like that two-hole. That's kind of where I hit at when I first came up, and it went well. And, it's kind of, if I get on base, my speed plays a big role into, scoring from first.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because a lot of guys in the two-hole, they're good at going the opposite way, first and thirding a guy, and you seem super comfortable taking the ball to right field.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of, I like to hit it where the pitcher throws it. And, I'm at my best when I'm hitting away, and that's my strength. So, I try to stay away a lot, and I stay on balls a lot longer.
What's the next level for you right now? What are you pushing on?
Oh, man, you know, just keep working. Man, I want to be great. You know, reach that all-star status and reach that superstar status. You know, setting the bar high. So, you know, I just got to keep working and keep competing and keep having fun.
And we're in September right now, so just curious. Whoa, I'd love the finish of the season to get here. I mean, how's the body feeling, or do you feel like you got a lot left in the tank?
I feel great, man. You know, the body feels good. You know, I feel like I'm going to finish strong and, you know, just go out there every day and, you know, see what happens. Just keep competing.
You know, there's a couple guys that have, at the end of the year, played every position in a game. If there's anybody on this team that could do it, Tim, I'm guessing it's you. I don't know how you are catching, but pitching, you could probably pitch. Have you thought about going to Ricky and saying, hey, last series of the year, I'd like to play all nine positions?
Not yet. It's still early in my career. You know, maybe I could do that on my way out the door, but not yet, man. I want to stay at shortstop, and that's my goal and my plan.
So, off the field, college football season's here right now. You're a Bama guy. I'm wondering, did you root for Bama growing up?
Yeah, Roll Tide all day, every day, man. I never changed. Roll Tide forever.
You got like an all-time favorite Alabama quarterback, running back, anything, any player that you, like Tim Anderson, enjoyed growing up?
I like Mark Ingram. You know, he was the running back when I was younger, so it was easy to follow him. You know, Heisman winner. I'm a big Julio Jones fan. You know, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, man. And you know, I'm a huge fan of those two.
You got a fantasy football team?
No, I'm not into that. I'm not into that, man.
I thought Amari Cooper would be like the greatest receiver in football. So far, he hasn't been able to find himself. Maybe you could like give him a call, talk to him.
Man, he's good. He's good. He's gonna be all right. You know, man, great hands. You know, definitely a unique player and a rare player. So he'll find himself.
So yesterday, the news drops that Michael Kopech's got to have Tommy John surgery, and that's obviously a huge blow for him and for the team as well. Like you hearing that news, you know, how did you go up and talk to him? I mean, it's kind of a blow to the clubhouse, obviously.
No, I just told him, you know, he's gonna be all right. He's gonna be all right. You know, try not to overthink it. We know what comes with our job as injuries, and you know, being a pitcher, that's obviously one of the main things that can possibly happen. But he's gonna be all right, man. He's gonna bounce back, and you're gonna keep following Kopech and the White Sox. So we're gonna be all right, man. We're gonna keep winning and keep playing hard without him, and you know, until he comes back, we're still gonna be that dominant team.
You're wearing a Tim Anderson shirt. For fans of Tim Anderson, how do they get a TA T-shirt?
Oh, they coming soon, man. You know, we're gonna get them out pretty soon. We're gonna have this fan wearing them. So just stay tuned.
Tim, it's been a pleasure talking to you all season long. You're always available, and I love the enthusiasm you bring to the game. Just in case we don't catch up before the end of the year, what's the plan for the offseason?
Oh, man, you know, get away from baseball. You know, and then. Take a few vacations with my wife and my daughter, and you know, just live life, you know, outside of baseball, because we'd be in the clubhouse all season. So you know, try to do something different.
You got anything planned you want to let us know on? I'm not gonna. Don't worry, I won't show up.
I'll be in Jamaica. I'm going to Jamaica November the 4th, man. My anniversary. You know, take the daughter to Disney. You know, we're gonna do fun stuff, man. You know, get out and live life a little bit.
What grade are you giving yourself on this year? I know we got a little ways to go here.
I give myself a B. You know, I'm not where I need to be, but defensively, I made a big jump. And, you know, offensively, well, I kind of been figuring out a little lately. And, you know, but I just got to continue to get better, man. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of great things coming near in the future.
I mean, I think you've taken a nice step offensively, too. I mean, there's more, but, you know, the power's been there. You've had some key hits.
Yeah, but I'm my biggest critic, man. And you know how it is, you know, when you want to push yourself. And, you know, I feel like I just got to keep working to get where I want to be. And, you know, I'm going to keep working, man. It's going to show.
Growing up, more guys were stealing bases. I think stolen bases is a big part of your game. Yeah. You got a number on that for next season?
No, I don't like to put no numbers on stolen bases. I like to just go out and see what happens and, you know, kind of keep the fans into it and, you know, see what number I can get. But I don't like to put a number on it.
As we wrap up here, if Sox PR came and said, hey, Tim, we want to make you the face of the 2000 and what would that be, 19 Chicago White Sox.
He went to Iowa, so he's really good at math.
That's rude, but partly true. How would you feel about that if that happened?
I'm open, man. You know, right now I'm in a position to, you know, in a great position. You know, blessed and honored to to be able to be a middle piece of this team. And, you know, definitely I'm going to try my best to lead them and guide them in the right direction. And hopefully we can bring a championship to the South Side.
There we go, Tim Anderson. Always good to catch up with number seven. We, Harry?
I liked him. You know, I mean, I know that, you know, some people worry about his defense, but I've heard Andy talking about it on the pregame. I've heard you talking about it. He's been exceptionally strong lately, and I think that's really the way he is. And you can tell he's working on it all the time.
Yep, he has. I think it's been one of the solid stories. I mean, Timmy's coming in tonight. He's in 248, 18 homers, 59 RBIs, and he's played a great shortstop.
And he's terrific stealing bases.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to talk with Daniel Palka coming up after 5 o'clock. We have our text question of the show. That is straight ahead on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Good to have you along on this solid autumn day here, Harry.
Yep, we're halfway to St. Patrick's Day at Guaranteed Rate Field.
You're wearing your green White Sox jersey this week. Congratulations.
Autographed by?
Minnie Minoso.
Yep, 1997.
Do you remember the moment? What can you tell us?
Doing Brandmeier's show, and Bob Grimm walked in, and I don't think he had been to bed yet from March 16th, and he gave me this jersey, and he said, "Would you like Minnie to sign it for you?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And so Minnie Minoso signed the jersey for me. He was there that morning, and of course, Minnie, everybody knows what he did. I think 6 decades in a row, had a different blonde woman make him an outstanding offer.
So you're telling me that he didn't sign it in front of you, but Bob had?
No, I'm saying Minnie signed it for me right then and there.
Oh, okay.
On St. Patrick's Day morning, 1997.
But Bob Grimm had to get Minnie to do it for you. Minnie didn't do it for you on his own.
Bob suggested it. It was early morning.
Right.
And I was between a beer and a blood sausage. You ever had a blood sausage?
No, that sounds aggressive.
It is. It's an Irish tradition. You have blood sausages. You know, if you're from the South, you have black-eyed peas on New Year's Day.
Uh-huh.
And if you're Irish, you have blood sausage on St. Paddy's Day.
What about a matzo ball? When does that happen?
A matzo ball happens on Rosh Hashanah when the matzo ball drops from the top of the Sears Tower.
So the Jewish New Year's coming around for you, is it?
Yes, it's tomorrow night.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, I'm all excited about it. It's the year of the jeweler.
Yeah. So as we get ready for the 5 o'clock hour, Daniel Palka is going to be with us. Just a quick mention, congratulations to both the Kannapolis Intimidators and the Winston-Salem Dash on phenomenal seasons. They both went out in the playoffs last night, Kannapolis losing game 2 in the Northern Division Championship Series. Were actually no hit last night. 103 pitches, lost 1-0 to Lakewood. And Winston-Salem went down 6-5 to Buell's Creek, which I'm still learning how to pronounce. Buies Creek. Thank you, Andy Mazur. Buies Creek. Did you know that? It's B-U-L-E-S, Harry, but it's pronounced Buies.
I did not know that, Carm.
Well, we're all learning something.
Wasn't there a great basketball player named Buie?
Sam Buie.
Sam Bowie. But wasn't there Roosevelt Buie?
Anthony Buie. Wasn't he in the NBA?
He might have been.
On Orlando Magic? All right. On that note, let us get you ready for the 5 o'clock hour. News in 2 minutes, and then we'll talk to Daniel Palka on 720 WGN.
2 balls, 2 strikes. 9th inning, 2-1, Detroit in the pitch. High and deep to left. This got a chance to tie the game at the track. At the wall, he ties the game. Palka hits home run number 21. Light it up, we're even at 2.
White Sox Weekly continuing. We are about to sit down with Palkamania. How do you feel about Palkamania? I mean, I've been putting that out on Twitter when you do something. Does that warm your heart? Do you think that's weird? What's the reaction?
For me, anything fans like, I like, so I'm into it.
I'm pumping you for Rookie of the Year too. You down?
Yeah, I'm in on that. I think I'm a little far behind, but it's all right. It's not over yet.
Now, why, you know, when you're a kid and you play baseball, you always fantasize like it's the 9th inning when you come up and you do your damage. Why are you so good so late in the game?
I mean, it's just competitive. I know I'm the man for that job, and I like being in that spot, whether I'm coming off the bench or, you know, it's my last AB of the night. You know, I want to make it count.
So let's talk. Let's go back to the offseason. You're a free agent. The White Sox call. You're 26 years old. You're trying to get a shot, and now you're sitting here in the dugout. Now you guys have been playing a lot better baseball lately, and you know you're north of 20 homers. I would assume you're feeling like this year has been a success for you personally.
Yeah, it's been a good year. For me, it's been a little inconsistent, but there's been a lot of positives, and this second half's been huge so far. We're winning a lot of games, and it's fun. It's fun. It's a lot more fun winning than it was, coming up and not winning. So,
fair enough. I'm gonna let you expand about that in a minute. But go ahead, Harry.
Well, you've made your mark with your stick, obviously. Sox fans love it that, Polkamania is coming up, and he's going to put the ball in the outfield seats. But where are you at with your leather? Are you getting enough opportunities to play defense?
Yeah. When I got moved over and started playing more left, I don't know what it was. I was just more comfortable. And ever since then, when I've been in right, everything feels back to normal. It's just a rough start out there getting adjusted to new balls and everything and the backdrop and whatnot. But, I work with Debo every day, so if it's not getting better, then there's an issue.
Right, Debo, Daryl Boston, and I've seen you out there. He's hitting the fungos. He's got you focusing on having the mitt up by your face when you're catching. There's a lot of basic stuff. But you made a nice play running over towards the corner last night. It seems like it's paying off, as you're saying.
Yeah, definitely. Just comfort wise too. That's all it was. And I'm kind of thinking about situations before they happen instead of just being out there. And that alone has been huge.
I think that's a big deal, too. Like, every pitch, you guys got to be dialed in. Who's on base? What's he likely to throw? Where's it going to go? The standard fan, the standard media guy doesn't really think about how much goes into every single play so you're actually ready to make a play.
Yeah, exactly. That's huge. You get a little distracted at times, and all of a sudden the ball's hit at you 100 miles an hour, and you're in trouble. So
focus, Harry. It's all about focus.
Well, I'm focused. I know Daniel's focused. I wonder if you're focused. Carm wants to be your. A lot of players have two agents: one that does their contract, another one that does their television stuff that gets them a car to drive all summer when they're in Chicago. Carm wants to do that for you. He wants you to be the spokesperson for Bona Beef because Frank retired quite a number of years ago. So he wants a current player. Are you a natural in front of the camera?
Oh, 100%. I've been having job offers in front of the camera for years, but I had to focus on baseball, so I had to kind of put acting aside.
Right. See, it's a natural. You can feel it coming through the radio right now.
So, what kind of offers have you been given?
They tried to get me on Friends on the last season. That was when I was a little younger, and then a lot of movie agents just kind of come up to me and they're like, "Can I take your picture?" Because, like, man, you're really good looking. And sometimes I let them, sometimes I don't. It just depends on what kind of vibes they're giving me.
Now, Giolito is Mr. Hollywood family. How does Lucas feel about this?
I met Gio's parents for the first time. They kind of pulled me aside and they were like, you're kind of everything we wish our son was talents-wise behind the camera. And I told him, I was like, yeah, I won't let him know that. But,
Do guys do they get your humor in this clubhouse?
Yeah, for the most part. We got enough personalities in here that when we all are kind of being who we are, it really ends up being funny in there. I can't really explain it, but we gel well together with our humor.
Like, Yomer's out there with the, like, dump the Gatorade on your head humor, but you're a little more understated. I think Yomer's getting too much pub. I'd like to boil that into the presentation that we can make to friends and everybody else in the world.
Yeah, Yomer has his thing, but I don't know if that really works in the real world as far as Hollywood and, stand-up comedy. He might have a chance there as an extra, but... when it comes to the real deal stuff, that it's going to be me.
I said, if you could meet one Hollywood starlet, just like sit down, have lunch with her. We want to thank you for being a good guy all season. So Carm's going to hook you up. Who do you want us to bring in and have lunch with?
I think it would just be myself. You know, if
and a mirror.
Yeah, just put a mirror in front of halfway through the table, and I think I'll be happy enough just looking at that.
Daniel Palka dominating this interview like he always does here on White Sox Weekly 720 WGN. Mark Carmen and Harry Tino, let's hope you're enjoying the music in the background as well. Well, what's the off-season plan, or what are we going to do when baseball's over?
I'm not too sure yet. I'll be in Atlanta for the most part, but I think this will be the first year I'm not. I probably won't play winter ball right away. I might try to sneak down playing Dominican the last half, but you know, I think I'm going to just take it easy in Atlanta for a little bit and soak in this year.
Have you been to that new Mercedes-Benz Stadium that Arthur Blank's built?
I hadn't been yet, and I'm pretty mad about it because it looks amazing. And then I got to make sure to hit up a soccer game there too, because it's surprising enough, Atlanta, their first year, they had like the best attendance in America for MLS, so I'm pumped about all that.
You enjoy the footy, huh? You ever play?
Yeah. I was really good. I was a really good center. That was my position, center. Yeah.
Hey, soccer had a center.
Yeah, there's a center, right? They're the guy that plays right in the middle of the field and kicks. So that was front center. Yep.
I had a one-nighter with this girl that was on the women's soccer team. It was terrible. She wouldn't use her hands.
No comment there. No comment.
good effort, Harry. Good effort. You got a fantasy football team? You do any of that stuff?
Nah, I'm not. I don't do it. I'm more of a college football fan, so I just get kind of frustrated watching NFL because everybody's so good. It's like everything happens perfect, and you know, none of the crazy stuff happens, so I can't enjoy it as much as college football.
One more thing in that clubhouse. Did you say anything to Michael Kopech after the news yesterday? Give him a little, hey man, you're going to be back here, that type of thing.
Yeah, I mean it's just a little bump in the road, man. And you know, there's now. I mean, Tommy John's so. I mean, it happens so much that it's not a thing to worry about, and he's real young, and dude works really hard, so this is it's just part of the game, really. You know,
that's been the message on White Sox Weekly. A lot of highly successful guys have had it. All right, well, we've enjoyed talking to you, Daniel Palka. You know that?
Yeah, I know.
Harry, anything lastly for Daniel as he walks away from us?
No, maybe he could give you some advice what to do with your love life.
No, we're not going to go there, but I do love the Instagram. You're doing a nice job. You capture the moment well.
On Instagram.
Isn't that you on Instagram taking videos? Am I crazy?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I got someone who runs my Instagram for me, because yeah, I'm kind of big time, so I got it. I can't be sitting on social media all day, you know?
That's Daniel Palka. I don't know. I honestly don't know if he's kidding or not. Is it him on the Insta or not? He's got a great Instagram. He does a nice job, Harry. That was our conversation with Palka in the dugout before the game. Love that guy. All right, let's move along here to our tech segment, Harry, which is sponsored by CJ Wilson Mazda and ZoomZoomNation.com, where they're always trying to make your car shopping fun. You always come up with a good one, Harry.
Well, you know, the Bears open the season tomorrow night, and we wish the beloved the best. They're opening against the Packers without a doubt, Carm. Bears fans want to see the Bears beat the Packers more than any other team. So the web poll question simply is this. Sox fans, which team do you enjoy seeing the White Sox beat the most?
Which team do you enjoy seeing the White Sox beat the most? Phone number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200.
Is it a divisional opponent? Is it the dreaded New York Yankees? Would it be that team located just north of Guaranteed Rate Field? Which team do you enjoy seeing the Sox beat the most?
Cubs, Yankees,
Tigers,
Indians,
Royals.
Royals, Twins.
Well, because Royals, I mean, if you're a longtime Sox fan, you saw some very good Royals teams have their way with the Sox for a long time.
I used to love the Sox-Brewers rivalry. Of course, that's long, long, long gone. But okay, we'll see what happens. 312-981-7200. Come on back. Get you ready for tonight's game and a little tribute to one of the guys in the clubhouse. That is straight ahead on 720 WGN.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling.
Halfway to St. Paddy's Day.
From glen to glen.
Little tune for you, Harry.
And down
well,
the mountainside.
I thought you wanted to dedicate this to your favorite White Sox.
The summer's gone.
Daniel Polka.
That is very appropriate by you. I'm very slow, apparently, not putting that one together. Thank you, Harry.
Sure, or our executive producer, Dan Long.
Well, there's my favorite.
That's your all-time favorite, Dan?
All-time favorite Dan Long. That's a tall one. I have to think about that one.
Dan Jiggets?
Dan Jiggets is a tremendous Dan.
Uh-huh. My brother Danny Tynowitz.
Danny
that's
Tynowitz.
My favorite.
Danny Tynowitz is a great man. Went to school with a Dan Gottlieb, who's always very proficient at Foursquare at Camp Nabagamon, Harry.
Foursquare.
I'm getting a little bit off track here. I'm trying to think of like Chicago.
How about Dan Pasqua?
Dan Pasqua, good old number 44, great Dan.
I love it when you know the number.
How about, trying to think of.
Dan Hampton, believe you do a show with him.
Yeah, the Danimal, right. Don't forget little Bears pregame tomorrow at 5 o'clock, and then we'll be on, Hample B and Kaz will be on after the game, 10:30 tomorrow night. Michael Kopech on Instagram here, Harry.
Yeah.
I thought I'd be proactive and not reactive. I thought I'd be watching from the dugout and not the training room. I thought I'd be an exception and not a statistic. Life happened. The 2019 at White Sox are going to surprise a lot of people, and I can't wait to see that. My goal was and still is to help bring championships to the South Side. It's going to be a long journey, but I've never backed down from a challenge and don't plan to now. Go Sox. Much love, Chicago. Daniel Polka on his Instagram, MIKOP34. So that is a guy who has processed what's happened, and we played some of his cuts earlier, and now out on Instagram as he's digesting what's ahead for him, and super excited about the Sox in 2019, disappointed to not be a part of it, but also planning on coming back stronger than ever in 2020. Pretty cool.
Yeah, nothing we can do about it now. Just hope he gets healthy and he's, back and better than ever in 2020.
Yeah, Sox fans, we're giving you till Wednesday, September 26th for Fan Appreciation Night as the Sox take on the Indians at 7:10 p.m. It's the last home game of the season. You'll have a chance to win a variety of prizes. Plus, you can stick around for the post-game fireworks show on a Wednesday. So get your tickets at whitesox.com today.
Hey, take your family of four to one more White Sox game this season with the Family 4-Pack. Now, you receive four tickets, four hot dogs, four chips, and four sodas for as low as $49. Upper and lower level packages are available. Purchase yours at whitesox.com/4packs today.
Final timeout, and we'll set you up for tonight with the Angels. And, yes, a little bit of some credit to some guys who put forth a tremendous effort this year. We'll do that next on White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN.